Chapter 88. A going over the water tonight, Osiver, that's neither here nor there. You see, I've been a going backwards and forwards about his business, and I managed to pick up some of his story from the servants and them. And so far as I can make it out, it seems to be some at to this here effect, apostrophe, cut it short, old fellow, apostrophe interrupted Walker, who knew from former experience that he of the top boots was neither very concise nor intelligible in his narratives. Let me alone, apostrophe replied Ikey, and I'll ha wound up, and made my lucky in 5 seconds. This here young gentleman's father, so I'm told, mind me, and the father o' the young woman, have always been on very bad, out and out, regular knock me down sort o' terms. But somehow or another, when he was a visitin' at some gentle folk's house, as he knowed at college, he came into contract with the young lady. He seed her several times, and then he up and said he'd keep company with her, if so be as she vos agreeable. Well, she vos as sweet upon him as he vos upon her, and so I suppose they made it all right, for they got married about 6 months arterwards, and beckonin', mind me, to the two fathers leastways, so I'm told. When they heard on it, my eyes, there was such a combustion. Starvation vos the very least that vos to be done to him. The young gentleman's father cut him off with a bob, cause he'd cut himself off with a wife. And the young lady's father, he behaved even worser and more unnatural, for he not only blowed her up dreadful, and swore he'd never see her again, but he employed a chap as I knows, and as you knows, Mr. Walker, a precious sight too well to go about, and buy up the bills and them things on which the young husband, thinking his governor had come round a gin, had raised the vine, just to blow himself on with for a time. Besides which, he made all the interest he could to set other people agin him. Consequence was, that he paid, as long as he could, but things he never expected to have to meet till he'd had time to turn himself round, come fast upon him, and he was nabbed. He was brought here, as I said afore, last Wednesday, and I think there's about a half a dozen detainers agin him downstairs now. I have been, apostrophe added Ikey, in the profession these 15 years, and I never met with such vindictiveness afore. Apostrophe, poor creatures. Apostrophe, exclaimed the coal dealer's wife once more. Again resorting to the same excellent prescription for nipping a sigh in the bud. Ah! When they've seen as much trouble as I, and my old man here have, they'll be as comfortable under it as we are. Apostrophe, the young lady's a pretty creature, apostrophe said Walker, only she's a little too delicate for my taste, there ain't enough of her. As to the young cove, he may be very respectable and what not, but he's too down in the mouth for me, he ain't game. Apostrophe, game. Apostrophe, exclaimed Ikey, who had been altering the position of a green-handled knife and fork at least a dozen times, in order that he might remain in the room under the pretext of having something to do. He's game enough when there's anything to be fierce about, but who could be game as you call it, Mr. Walker, with a pale young creeter like that, hanging about him? It's enough to drive any man's heart into his boots to see 'em together, and no mistake at all about it. I never shall forget her first coming here. He wrote to her on the Thursday, to come I know he did, cause I took the letter. Uncommon fidgety he was all day to be sure, and in the evening he goes down into the office, and he says to Jacobs, says he, sir, can I have the loan of a private room for a few minutes this evening, without incurring any additional expense, just to see my wife in? Says he. Jacobs looked as much as to say, strike me bountiful, if you ain't one of the modest sort, but as the gentleman who had been in the back parlor had just gone out, and had paid for it for that day, he says very grave, sir, says he, it's agin our rules, to let private rooms to our lodgers on gratis terms, but, says he, for a gentleman, I don't mind breaking through them for once. So then he turns round to me, and says, Ikey, put 2 mold candles in the back parlor, and charge 'em to this gentleman's account, which I did. Well, by and by a hackney coach comes up to the door, and there, sure enough, was the young lady, wrapped up in a Hapira cloak, as it might be, and all alone. I opened the gate that night, so I went up when the coach come, and he was a waitin' at the parlor door, and wasn't he a trembling, neither? The poor creature see him, and could hardly walk to meet him. Oh, Perry, she says, that it should have come to this. And all for my sake, says she, putting her hand upon his shoulder. So he puts his arm round her pretty little waist, and leading her gently a little way into the room, so that he might be able to shut the door, he says, so kind and soft like, why, Kate, says he apostrophe, here's the gentleman you want, apostrophe said Ikey, abruptly breaking off in his story, and introducing Mr. Gabriel Parsons to the crestfallen Watkins Toddle, who at that moment entered the room. Watkins advanced with a wooden expression of passive endurance, and accepted the hand which Mr. Gabriel Parsons held out. I want to speak to you, apostrophe said Gabriel, with a look strongly expressive of his dislike of the company. This way, apostrophe replied the imprisoned one, leading the way to the front drawing room, where rich debtors did the luxurious at the rate of a couple of guineas a day. Well, here I am, apostrophe said Mr. Watkins, as he sat down on the sofa, and placing the palms of his hands on his knees, anxiously glanced at his friend's countenance. Yes, and here you're likely to be, apostrophe said Gabriel, coolly, as he rattled the money in his unmentionable pockets, and looked out of the window. What's the amount with the costs? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Parsons, after an awkward pause. Have you any money? Apostrophe apostrophe 9 and 6 pence halfpenny. Apostrophe, Mr. Gabriel Parsons walked up and down the room for a few seconds, before he could make up his mind, to disclose the plan he had formed. He was accustomed to drive hard bargains, but was always most anxious to conceal his avarice. At length he stopped short, and said, Toddle, you owe me £50. Apostrophe, I do. Apostrophe, and from all I see, I infer that you are likely to owe it to me. Apostrophe, I fear I am. Apostrophe, though you have every disposition to pay me if you could? Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly. Apostrophe, then, apostrophe said Mr. Gabriel Parsons, listen. Here's my proposition. You know my way of old. Accept it yes, or no I will or I won't. I'll pay the debt and costs, and I'll lend you 10 L more, which, added to your annuity, will enable you to carry on the war well, if you'll give me your note of hand, to pay me £150 within 6 months, after you are married to Miss Lillerton. Apostrophe, my dear apostrophe, stop a minute on one condition, and that is, that you propose to Miss Lillerton at once. Apostrophe, at once. My dear Parsons, consider. Apostrophe, it's for you to consider, not me. She knows you well from reputation, though she did not know you personally until lately. Notwithstanding all her maiden modesty, I think she'd be devilish glad to get married out of hand with as little delay as possible. My wife has sounded her on the subject, and she has confessed. Apostrophe, what? Apostrophe apostrophe eagerly interrupted the enamored Watkins. Why, apostrophe replied Parsons, to say exactly what she has confessed would be rather difficult, because they only spoke in hints, and so forth. But my wife, who is no bad judge in these cases, declared to me that what she had confessed was as good as to say that she was not insensible of your merits, in fact, that no other man should have her. Apostrophe, Mr. Watkins Toddle rose hastily from his seat, and rang the bell. What's that for? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Parsons. I want to send the man for the bill stamp, apostrophe replied Mr. Watkins Toddle. Then you've made up your mind? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have, apostrophe and they shook hands most cordially. The note of hand was given the debt, and costs were paid. Ikey was satisfied for his trouble, and the two friends soon found themselves on that side of Mr. Solomon Jacobs' establishment, on which most of his visitors were very happy when they found themselves once again, to wit, the outside. Now, apostrophe said Mr. Gabriel Parsons, as they drove to Norwood together, you shall have an opportunity to make the disclosure tonight, and mind you speak out, Toddle. Apostrophe, I will. Apostrophe, replied Watkins, valorously. How I should like to see you together, apostrophe ejaculated Mr. Gabriel Parsons. What fun! Apostrophe, and he laughed so long and so loudly that he disconcerted Mr. Watkins Toddle and frightened the horse. There's Fanny and your intended walking about on the lawn, apostrophe said Gabriel, as they approached the house. Mind your eye, Toddle. Apostrophe, never fear, apostrophe replied Watkins, resolutely, as he made his way to the spot where the ladies were walking. Here's Mr. Toddle, my dear, apostrophe said Mrs. Parsons, addressing Miss Lillerton. The lady turned quickly round, and acknowledged his courteous salute with the same sort of confusion that Watkins had noticed on their first interview, but with something like a slight expression of disappointment or carelessness. Did you see how glad she was to see you? Apostrophe, whispered Parsons to his friend. Why, I really thought she looked as if she would rather have seen somebody else, apostrophe replied Toddle. Pooh, nonsense. Apostrophe, whispered Parsons again. It's always the way with the women, young or old. They never show how delighted they are to see those whose presence makes their hearts beat. It's the way with the whole sex, and no man should have lived to your time of life without knowing it. Fanny confessed it to me, when we were first married, over and over again. See what it is to have a wife. Apostrophe, certainly, apostrophe whispered Toddle, whose courage was vanishing fast. Well, now, you'd better begin to pave the way, apostrophe said Parsons, who, having invested some money in the speculation, assumed the office of director. Yes, I will presently, apostrophe replied Toddle, greatly flurried. Say something to her, man, apostrophe urged Parsons again. Confound it. Pay her a compliment, can't you? Apostrophe, no, not till after dinner, apostrophe replied the bashful Toddle, anxious to postpone the evil moment. Well, gentlemen, apostrophe said Mrs. Parsons, you are really very polite. You stay away the whole morning, after promising to take us out, and when you do come home, you stand whispering together, and take no notice of us. Apostrophe, we were talking of the business, my dear, which detained us this morning, apostrophe replied Parsons, looking significantly at Toddle. Dear me, how very quickly the morning has gone, apostrophe said Miss Lillerton, referring to the gold watch, which was wound up on state occasions, whether it required it or not. I think it has passed very slowly, apostrophe mildly suggested Toddle.
That's right, bravo. Apostrophe, whispered Parsons.
Indeed. Apostrophe, said Miss Lillerton, with an air of majestic surprise. I can only impute it to my unavoidable absence from your society, madam, apostrophe said Watkins, and that of Mrs. Parsons. Apostrophe, during this short dialogue, the ladies had been leading the way to the house. What the deuce did you stick Fanny into that last compliment for? Apostrophe, inquired Parsons, as they followed together. It quite spoiled the effect. Apostrophe, oh, it really would have been too broad without, apostrophe replied Watkins Toddle, much too broad. Apostrophe, he's mad. Apostrophe, Parsons whispered his wife, as they entered the drawing room, mad from modesty. Apostrophe, dear me. Apostrophe, ejaculated the lady, I never heard of such a thing. Apostrophe, you'll find we have quite a family dinner, Mr. Toddle, apostrophe said Mrs. Parsons, when they sat down to table. Miss Lillerton is one of us, and, of course, we make no stranger of you. " Mr. Watkins Tuttle expressed a hope that the Parsons family never would make a stranger of him, and wished internally that his bashfulness would allow him to feel a little less like a stranger himself. "Take off the covers, Martha," said Mrs. Parsons, directing the shifting of the scenery with great anxiety. The order was obeyed, and a pair of boiled fowls, with tongue and etceteras, were displayed at the top, and a fillet of veal at the bottom. On one side of the table two green sauce tureens, with ladles of the same, were setting to each other in a green dish, and on the other was a curried rabbit, in a brown suit, turned up with lemon. "Miss Lillerton, my dear," said Mrs. Parsons, "shall I assist you?" "Thank you, no, I think I'll trouble Mr. Tuttle." Watkins started trembled helped the rabbit, and broke a tumbler. The countenance of the lady of the house, which had been all smiles previously, underwent an awful change. "Extremely sorry," stammered Watkins, assisting himself to curry, and parsley and butter, in the extremity of his confusion. "Not the least consequence," replied Mrs. Parsons, in a tone which implied that it was of the greatest consequence possible, directing aside the researches of the boy, who was groping under the table for the bits of broken glass. "I presume," said Miss Lillerton, "that Mr. Tuttle is aware of the interest which bachelors usually pay in such cases. A dozen glasses for one is the lowest penalty." Mr. Gabriel Parsons gave his friend an admonitory tread on the toe. Here was a clear hint that the sooner he ceased to be a bachelor, and emancipated himself from such penalties, the better. Mr. Watkins Tuttle viewed the observation in the same light, and challenged Mrs. Parsons to take wine, with a degree of presence of mind, which, under all the circumstances, was really extraordinary. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.